All right, guys, welcome to episode number 5 of the Derek and Jenna Mitchell podcast.
Whoop.
Today is Thursday.
No, it's not.
It will be when we drop this.
Yeah,
it will. We drop it like it's hot.
Thursday.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so today, in today's episode, we are going to talk about Birdie, a.k.a. the giant 84-passenger yellow school bus that Jenna just had to have, so she bought it.
I did.
And she's going to move her whole family into it.
Someday.
That's the plan. That was the plan. We are now... You can see where this is going, can't you?
Let me paint... Can I paint the picture?
Paint that picture.
It was December before Christmas.
December of the year 2018. She was younger.
More hopeful then. I was only 32. The world was brighter.
Whatever. It was like
dark and gray. I bought this bus thinking, yeah, by April, we're moving into this bad mamma jamma.
Good filter.
And we.
Into this bad mamma jamma.
And we are going to live the minimalist dream for the summer. And then see what shakes out after that.
Also, you must have been on the Pinterest or the Instagrams hardcore.
No.
Hashtag schoolie conversion.
Oh,
hashtag schoolie. Hashtag YOLO. Hashtag travel.
Okay, get out of here. Hashtag... I got into that. Shut your mouth. I got into that. Shh. There. I have scissors and I will stab you.
That escalated so fast.
Nope. It's like the Hulk. What's his secret? Oh. I'm always stabby. Anyway.
Oh, true.
So.
The bus.
Circling back. Yes.
Big bus
around. We got real excited. And then
I was real excited.
Derek played along. I doubled down on the idea and showed I was real serious. And then he got scared.
By proceeding to sell all of our things that we were still using. I really liked that toaster. Why did you have to sell the toaster first? We made like $15 on it. I had to meet some stranger in the parking lot of Costco to give him the things that she's like, we're selling the stuff because I'm going to buy a new thing for the bus.
She sold the toaster.
What else did you sell? She sold the rice cooker, the teapot.
It was like this
weird drug deal in the parking lot of Costco. So I pull up right behind him. And like, it didn't even pull into a parking spot. Just right behind him. We're getting honked at by people who are trying to back out. I'm like, yeah, be quiet. I got to get the cash first. So I proceed to throw all the stuff into the back of this guy's rig and he gives me cash and I can't get out of there fast enough. It was like a drug deal.
No, hear me.
And I missed my toaster. All right.
Okay. In my defense, it's not like I set out to like sell that first. I literally posted everything on Craigslist and that just happened to be the first thing that went. Like I can't fight what the people want. Someone wanted that. I don't know.
Used toaster, by the way?
I don't know.
We have different issues.
So listen, hear me. Okay. So when we bought the bus, we got a screaming deal on it. When I bought the bus. And we were told that the part that it needed to run was going to be like $2,000 max.
Okay.
And we were like, that's fine. We got a screaming deal. Most buses cost $8,000 to $10,000. That's fine. Like, we're getting a great, like, this is an amazing deal.
Y'all see where this is going, right?
And then we found out that because of the make and model of it,
she's special.
Blah, blah, blah.
She's a special bus.
She's real special.
She's a rare bird.
And it's going to be at least $5,000 to $6,000 just for the part.
The part was quoted at $4,750.
Assuming they can find it.
No, they can find it. They just have to special order it because it's rare.
It's so rare.
Like a fine wine.
Or a blood diamond.
So what's the plan? Everybody wants to know. What's the plan? I want to know.
The plan is now, I honestly don't know. Part of me feels like I would love it if the bus could be ready still by the end of April, but I don't know. It's just a lot of money.
In the grand scope of, it is a lot of money, but in the grand scope of things, the parts only, not only, this sounds really.
I know.
That's not how I mean it, but it's only $3,000 more. Compared to spending like 20 or 30 grand on like the plans you had for this thing.
But that's the $3,000 we had planned for other parts of it, like raising the roof and putting in plumbing and electrical. And then you defer that and then you shorten your timeline. So if it's the trifecta of money, time, and quality, now we with a shortened timeline, it's more money to get less to get the same quality. So we are just in a decision making time where it's like, well,
so let's.
It may not be done in time, and I just have to be okay with that. Because at the end of the day, even though part of the goal is the bus, because I love the idea of the bus, and that's still happening, the main goal is, why did I want the bus to begin with?
That's where I was going to take it. Yeah,
I wanted less. I wanted to be held less hostage by stuff. I wanted more time with the people I love, you and the kids.
Aww.
And I wanted space and ability and financial bandwidth for adventure. Because in just a few short years, our oldest kid's going to be in high school. And we need to put down roots to be a safe space for her and for her sisters as they come through that high school time. And so to me, it's like between now and then, I don't know. Like, I just want to be, I want to be free to be generous with our money. I want to be free to travel. And I want to love on our kids in a big way. Not that we can't do that in this house that we're in right now, but like, I don't know. I just feel like when like things become a distraction, and it's not that they're bad. It's not that the blessings become a burden. It's just that there's seasons to life. And I'm just, my heart is in a season of adventure and wanderlust, and I want my kids to experience that. I want them to see me like this. Well, I know that sounds weird, but
we've,
like,
we've had adventure. No, we've had adventure and all that kind of stuff. I think specifically though, currently we're dealing with so it was awesome when we first, you know, had our first kid. Jen was pregnant with our first. We have all girls, and we have all cousins that are all girls. Mm-hmm. So all the other families in our family gave us a ton of stuff, which was amazing.
Amazing.
And so trying to find that balance between we've used it and how much do you hang on to because it's sentimental, because we're so thankful for all of it, and how much of it was it served its purpose and it's time to let it go. And I think the timing of that show, what's the I don't know. She's on Netflix right now. And it's one of those things.
Art of Tidying Up or whatever.
Yeah.
And the kids and I, you too, but we'll circle back to that. The kids and I are hoarders.
Well,
we are.
It's like, not even about hoarding.
Everything
is sentimental,
like, hoarding and everything would be one has thing. Meaning, and everything is perfect and wonderful. And I love that my kids get just excited about an empty box or a rock as they do a like $50 toy. But at the same time, the entire like third level of this house is filled with boxes.
There,
special
so
rocks.
One of the guest rooms and, like, is legitimately filled with cardboard boxes that our middle child collects and builds stuff with, which is awesome.
She's amazing.
She's like a little engineer. But she builds all these cool things.
I kid you not. Like, it would fill the back of my truck twice, three times,
right,
to take it all to the dump. But you can't, because it's treasure to her. And so it's trying to communicate to the kids the difference between trinkets and treasures.
And I don't even think that's the big deal. Like, the bigger deal is that you start playing with something, get halfway through it, and then go to something else, and we don't put things away.
Right.
That's part of what you're feeling. Right. So anyway, watching the show, when I was stuck in the airplane, we briefly mentioned that in the last episode, basically stuck on the airplane from 7 a.m. until like 3 p.m. on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. So I had ample time to watch all kinds of shows. And that was one of them. And it was just really inspiring. That's something I've struggled with too, is, and I don't know why. I don't know why I struggle with it. I think we've tried to, like, if we're going to go to therapy session now here.
You're a hoarder. Podcast,
no, it, well, sure, whatever. But like, well, that ties into like when I pack. I pack all kinds of stuff because I need it just enough to warrant needing it. But I'm
You're more of like an end time survivalist. Like, I might need this.
Yeah, that's why I have like 10 knives.
And I'm more like someone gave this to me and thought of me.
Well, I think for me, thoughtful. So my grandfather had a shop, and that's actually where the business name came from, the Mitchell's Garage. So he used to be a mechanic shop, full on like everything until cars got all computerized and crazy as far as the, you know, the newer makes and models that have a lot more going on under the hood. So he ended up just specializing in radiators. But that was part of my childhood growing up, seeing all the trinkets and stuff he would have. You know, we'd go weld stuff, we'd solder stuff, we'd cut and build stuff with wood, like always doing things.
And I'm like, his entire shop is full of treasures because he used them.
I know, but like, so like my dad even showed me how to like solder wires together, and I'd, you know, make things with switches and light bulbs and batteries and motors and stuff. It was a ton of fun. And so there was a little bit of that. And then I don't know if this is the case or not, but growing up, my parents always took care of me. I always had everything I needed, but I went to a school where the other kids like drove brand new cars, right? It was like a private school, and everything I had was always very, very special to me, right? And so, like, even if, what am I trying to say? Like, I still have silly things. I can't think of a good example, but like, that's
I get what you're like, saying, though. It's like the difference between growing up where you have everything more than you could ever want or need,
right?
And nothing of it matters. Whereas everything that you had when you were a kid or that you had as a young adult, it was like so-and-so gave it to you. It meant something. It mattered. Like your car was from your best friend. Like, you know what I mean? A bunch of your gear was from your grandmother's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And then at that point,
it's
like,
it's a more tight-knit, meaningful.
Yeah. And now we're at a point in our life where we've worked really hard and continue to work very hard. So if something breaks or we need something, we can just pretty much go buy it. You know, maybe you have to wait a month or two for the budget, you know, because we're trying to stick to our budget. But for the most part, if we need something, the business can buy it and take care of it. And so it's a weird juxtaposition going from, you know, literally accepting random mismatched furniture from anybody that'll give us things because we have nothing to sit on, to now it's like, okay, like we can kind of choose what we want it to be. But those things are still important to us. So now we just have stuff. Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. Like, and I think that's something we're trying to figure out is how to give honor and appreciation and thanks to those things that we've had and to the people in our lives that honestly gave us things when we had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like it served its purpose in our family. And how can we either give it to somebody else?
Right. Not holding so tightly to things. But I mean, someone once used that and they gave it to us and it blessed us. And so, you know, we could hold on to our things and think, oh, we might need this later. Or we could see someone else that could use it and pass it on.
So we got on this, not really tangent, but we're talking about Birdie and how, and how downsizing opens us up to be able to do more of that kind of stuff. Right?
Yeah. It's easy to get walled in by your own things and just not only distracted by them, but also just bogged down. I mean, the more stuff you have, the more you have to clean, the more you have to
take care of it. Well, even from like a business expense now, we were counting up our monthly subscriptions. So things like, Netflix and Hulu aren't business subscriptions, but like lynda.com and hosting at different hosting providers like GoDaddy, et cetera. And
utilities, telephone.
The phone bill is massive. Our cell phone bill, internet bill. We have a subscription to the Adobe Creative Cloud. Like all these things, I remember it was like almost $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's necessary for what we do.
But do you remember when we first got married, though? Like, we couldn't even make $1,000 a month, let alone just have that on the side peripheral, like, subscriptions. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, what does it say? Oh, as far as, like, you know, we bloat to this different level. And once you get to that level, it's tough to go backwards. And at the same time,
slowly become accustomed.
Right. And at the same time, though, like it's okay to hit that level and to stay there. It just I think at the back of your mind, on the one hand, like, you know, it's awesome that you have these opportunities. But on the flip side, it's stressful to feel like now you feel like you don't want to lose what you've gained.
But I think some of it was necessary.
But what I'm saying, though, is like sometimes you feel like you have all these things. So rather than looking to be generous, it's so easy to feel like you have to hold on tighter.
Right. But you don't.
Right. And I feel like the more loose we get with that kind of stuff, the more fun it's been just to kind of see where it goes.
I remember reading, I don't know what I was reading, but it was this story about, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it was this researcher, and it was probably just a parable. This researcher, and he was studying, the wild monkeys in Africa. And they had put out jars with like, treats and snacks in the bottom, and one of the monkeys had reached in and had grabbed a huge handful and then couldn't get his hand back out of the jar. right? Mm-hmm. Because he had his hand was so full of all of it, and ended up. I forget how it ended. If the jar broke and it cut him or something, but all that to say, if he would have just taken one and not had a huge bulging handful.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, I've heard the same story, but it was with raccoons or something where like you put like a piece of shiny tinfoil and like a hole. I don't know if they put like nails kind of facing inwardly or something so that they couldn't, you know, they pull when their hand was bigger, it would pull back. Mm-hmm. Against it. But if they let go, they could just pull it right back out.
Right.
But the point was like, it wouldn't let go. And it's what ended up capturing it and trapping it. Oh, interesting.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Anyway,
it's the idea of, and like, you know, in the Bible, like, open hand, open heart, right? Closed hand, closed heart. And I don't know, our kids are just in such a impressionable stage of life. I just really want to model, because they do what we do, not so much what we say.
Right.
I really want to model open hand, open heart. Right? Because you can't take any of it with you. And it's so easy to get distracted by the shiny, especially when sometimes it is necessary. Like you talk about our subscriptions, like in the last several years, like you've learned a ton from those things and they've done you a great service. But now, are they necessary moving forward, or are they just an added expenditure that keeps us from something else? Like, I think you just have to constantly be evaluating. And it doesn't mean that it was that the blessing turned into a burden. It just means you're in a different season now and something different is required.
I think that's the number one thing that's really, well, I probably say it all the time, but like one thing that really stands out to me about us is that we pay attention to seasons and we lean into them pretty hard. So when we know work is required of us, mm-hmm. or like it's a season of, you know, I like when publishing a course, like that takes a lot of work, mm-hmm. a lot of focus, a lot of late nights. And the more focused I can be, the faster it gets done. So even though it might be nice to spend a couple hours a day doing it, it's better if I could just spend like, literally, we'll check into a hotel and I'll turn it into a week-long stay at a hotel where I just sunrise to sunset until I pass out in bed and wake up again and get back to it again. Like, I'll just stay with it. And then when we're done, we celebrate. We go out to steak dinner or do something with the kids to kind of celebrate, you know, daddy got it done. And I think that the seasons and being aware of them will help you and know that the season. So I learned that from Jim Rohn, actually. He was talking about like, don't try and fight the seasons, work with the seasons. Like, don't try to put, how does he say? He's like, don't try to put summer right after winter. It doesn't work that way.
Right. You don't get
spring
mad.
Spring comes after winter.
You don't get mad at the snow.
No, you just know that it's coming snow. And you'd be ready for it. Right. And so I think that's like what we've done is we see that in April, our lease is up. It's a different season coming for us. And we're going to be ready for it. Now, the way that we thought we were going to be ready for it probably isn't the way it's going to actually pan out.
There's a 50% chance we're not moving onto a bus in April.
Well, it doesn't mean we're not going to move into a bus at all, but come April, either we're trying to go to month with this place.
Nope. I will say hard pass to that, good sir.
She was like, well, what if we didn't raise the roof on the bus? I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I will not do that. So it's funny. Like, it's what I appreciate about you, though. Like, if there's things that are really important to me or vice versa, like you take the time to hear me and like, okay, that's really important to him. We will, or we won't do that thing, whatever.
It's the period of needs or the pyramid of needs. Like, you have to be honest about what you need and what you just want.
Sure.
And I think the older we get and the longer we're together, the more we're honest with each other about what are our non-negotiables in this pyramid of needs and what are
nice to have, but doesn't matter.
And I think like for me, I could give a flying boo honky about 99% of stuff. Like, I just don't care about stuff.
Yeah.
And not that you care too much about stuff, but you and I are a little bit different.
I find that
this.
Interesting. Well, that's a perfect example. Like, I'm looking at your finger right now. You've got a ring, a tattoo on your ring finger. Mm-hmm. And when I bought your ring, you were like, it doesn't have to be big. And you were athletic, not that you aren't now, but you were, and you were on a basketball team. I have to rephrase that, get myself in trouble.
You used to be athletic.
You're still athletic. No.
Now you're just fluffy.
Walked right into that one.
It's true though. I'm a marshmallow.
You're not a marshmallow. Don't talk about my wife.
I like marshmallows.
All right. So no, but the point is, I made it a point to buy a bigger ring, and we talked about this. I sold my Jeep to buy her ring because I didn't have any money, but I had a Jeep. So, that being said, not that she doesn't even wear it now. She wears it when she dresses up and stuff, but like, she just doesn't need the fluff or the stuff. Mm-mm. Simple.
I got the man. That's all I need.
Aww.
I forget what we're talking about because now we're being cute.
You win. Oh my gosh.
I want a pizza.
A pizza.
So hungry.
What time is it?
I don't know, but I want pizza.
Guys, it's like at least after 10 o'clock at night. 11 o'clock.
If I lived in Seattle, I could have pizza right now.
You could Uber a pizza right to your door.
I could.
Uber Eats for the
win. I could have Taco Hut. There used to be a place, total sidetrack, where we used to live. It was a Taco Bell Pizza Hut in the same building. You could go through the drive-thru and order one or both. Literally the best thing. You could get a chalupa and a mini Pizza Hut pizza in one order.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, a pizza.
And that's why I gained 50 pounds my first pregnancy.
That's not why you gained 50 pounds your first pregnancy. Yeah. Gained 50 pounds your first pregnancy was, one, you were pregnant.
I love food so much.
She used to make me go through the drive-thru. Okay, not even the drive-thru. Like, she would get fries from McDonald's.
Food's so good.
And nuggets from Wendy's, right? Or do I have it backwards? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to go to both. Not only have to go to, so yeah. I had, so, but luckily we lived in a place where like they were right next to each other, but I would go through one drive-thru and ask for fries. And then I'd be like, okay, here's the deal. My wife is pregnant. Mm-hmm. Will you please make a fresh batch? And they'd always be all sympathetic and like,
it's a small request to ask. I was growing a human.
But like I had to request they be fresh and pull up while they made them. And
Who wants styrofoam fries?
But, I mean,
that's
come
what
on.
They are. When they're,
but like the point that I had to ask, right? And then I'd get those super fresh fries and peel out delicious. And try and get to Wendy's.
Mm-hmm. And
same
then get home
thing.
As quick as you can.
And then get home as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you.
I would think
and
so.
And also, I grew you three humans.
That sounds so weird.
I did that thing, which is why I'm fluffy now. And I still want a pizza.
Every time you say that, it makes me think of Kung Fu Panda.
I am Kung Fu Panda.
No, when he's like, skadoosh.
Skadoosh. I will skadoosh anyone and anyone that I have to get a pizza right now.
Oh my gosh.
Get out the way. Mama right. wants a pizza.
All right, yo.
All right. Well,
I better get this girl a pizza before bad things happen.
Until next week.
Until next week.
If you have ideas or questions or things that you want us to discuss, shoot us a message on Anchor or on Facebook.
No, not Facebook. We're not on Facebook.
Oh, what are we on? Okay, you handle this part then. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I don't know what we're on.
But for reals, though, the last couple of episodes have been a little rough around the edges. I am getting serious stink eye right now.
They've been amazing.
Well, sure, they had bits of...
I told you when you said we're going to do a podcast and I was like, fine, but I'm not behaving. It was very clear with what you were getting.
And I did it anyway.
Yep. It's on you.
So, but if you would like, I mean, if you're still sticking around, thank you. I think. I feel like I should apologize. Maybe. Sorry. But all jokes aside, thanks for sticking around. We are on Anchor primarily. That's where we publish from. Love the platform. And you can also download the Anchor app and leave us a voicemail so we can loop those into the show. And you can also kindly, generously donate $1 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month to sponsor this podcast if you feel so inclined. But if not, no pressure. But you should. But you don't have to. But you could.
And thank you to our sponsor.
And then also you can find us. So from there, we broadcast out to iTunes, Spotify, Breaker. Is it Breaker? I don't know. Radio Public, Google Casts or podcasts. I'm missing a couple, but we're all over the place. So stay tuned, soon to be everywhere.
That's right. Podcast number five.
This was five. It's Thursday.
Okay. Podcast number six coming at you next week.
So hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear about. And thanks so much, guys. And hope you enjoyed this. Even if you didn't, I had fun talking to my wife.
Aw. You're sweet.
And she had fun talking to me. I can see it in her eyes.
I'm going to have more fun after I've eaten a pizza.
Oh, I got to get this kid a pizza. All right. We will see y'all later. Bye.